Welcome to West Virginia Talk with James and Jerry. I'm James.
And I'm Jerry.
And we're going to be talking about the Hatfield and McCoy feud.
This is probably the greatest feud of all time.
If you read about it, if you take the location and the time completely out of, you know, out of the situation, it sounds like mob stuff.
It really does.
It does. So the Hatfields were West Virginia in Logan and Mingo County, and the McCoys were Kentucky in Pike County. So the Tug Fork River separates the states and these families.
Right. And that's the Tug Fork off the Big Sandy, right?
Yeah. So this all starts, well, it's disputed when it starts, so we'll get into that. First things first, let's talk about the patriarchs of these families. So for the Hatfields, of course, we're going to start with him because he was West Virginian.
Absolutely.
Course. William Hatfield, nickname Devil Ants. Now, I have no idea what ants means. Now, for you people listening, I'm not saying A-N-T-S, not ants, like the bug. This is A-N-S-E. So I've looked at a couple different things, and I can't figure out which definition applies to this.
Right.
So, like, it's a French word for, like, a cove, or it's the center of an arc, like a handle, or it's, like, now this was from the Urban Dictionary, it's a snitch or a rat, but
I guess technically all of them could apply at some point in time.
I don't know. And then the whole genesis for his nickname, that's also disputed. His mom gave it to him. Gave it to him in the war, you know, and so on and so on. So there's no definitive genesis for his nickname. Logan, West Virginia, was where William Devil Ants Hatfield was born. So let's talk about the McCoy family, and they were headed up by Randolph McCoy, who they called Randall or Old Rannell, Tug River Valley in Kentucky and Pike County. So where did this all start? Well, it's disputed. Now, if you watch the History Channel miniseries, The Hatfields and McCoys, which I love,
right?
Kevin Costner plays Devil Ants and Bill Paxton plays Randall McCoy. They kind of focused in on a Razorback hog that Randall McCoy owned, and it went missing, and he found it at the farm of Devil Ants' cousin Floyd.
Right.
Now, if you go back even farther, Devil Ants was a I don't want to call him a tycoon, but he was well to do in the lumber business.
Right.
He had 5,000 acres of property that was in dispute by Randall McCoy's brother-in-law, Perry Klein.
Well, the McCoys, that was kind of their thing. They weren't quite as big as the Hatfields as far as economic status.
No, they were lower.
They were still in farming and livestock. So
right.
That land meant a lot to them.
Yeah, well, because they only had 300 acres.
Right.
So Perry Klein, who was Randall McCoy's brother-in-law, took Devil Ants to trial and disputed the land, and guess who the judge was? A Hatfield. So Devil Ants won that and won the land, right. And he started making tons of money off lumber. That's not even the genesis of the... I need to stop saying that word so much.
That's all right. Don't worry about
That's not even the beginning of the feud. So let's go back to the Civil War, okay? The McCoys and the Hatfields fought in a Confederate group called the Logan Wildcats. They were guerrilla. Hold on a second. I'm leading up to that.
That's the militia.
Whatever.
They both fought Confederate.
Yeah.
On the Confederate side. And after Hatfield came out, he formed the militia.
Yeah, you're
that
right.
He called the Logan Wildcats.
You're right. How dare you correct me? Yes, you're correct. But let's go to how the Civil War started this. So Randall McCoy had a brother named Asa, and Asa fought for the Union.
Right.
And when he returned home, he was ostracized, even by his own family.
Well, to make it even worse, is Hatfield and McCoy, both Randolph and William, fought
in the Logan. Yeah.
Well, what they did, they both fought in the raid that killed Union General Bill France, who Asa was
right.
under.
Yeah.
And he came after Hatfield.
Well, he was also Ace's friend and neighbor.
Right. And he right. came after Hatfield after they killed him.
Right. So they threatened him and said, we're gonna pay you a visit soon. So Devil Vance's uncle, Jim Vance, tracked him down while he was kind of on the run, and they pinned him in a cave, and they shot him. Now, they tried to implicate Devil Vance in this, but he was at home sick. So they're like, well, he couldn't have done it. No one really knows who did it, but they attribute it to Uncle Jim Vance.
Right.
But no one was ever arrested for this.
Well, how great is it for Devil Vance? He always seems to be sick at the right times. You ever notice that?
Yeah, well, we'll get to that too. But yeah, no one was ever convicted in Asa McCoy's murder. Then let's talk about the land dispute. So Devil Vance bought 5,000 acre property. Randall's brother-in-law laid claim to it, and he was also a lawyer, so he represented himself, Perry Klein. But the land was awarded to Devil Vance because the judge was a Hatfield.
Right.
Oh, well, maybe he felt that he actually owned the property. I don't know. Well, maybe he was trying to be impartial.
And the funny part was, back then, the Hatfields and McCoys like married together. So family, it wasn't like the Hatfields stayed completely away from the McCoys and McCoys stayed completely away from the Hatfields. There was a lot of intermingling. So sometimes there was that double-edged sword. You were a member of the family, but you had connections to both sides.
Right. Well, we're getting to that, too. So cousin Floyd was accused of stealing Randall's hog in 1878. Floyd said it swam the Tug Fork to his farm. They went to court. And Anderson Hatfield, again, was the judge, and Randall lost his case. Now, it sounds really stupid in 2022. It's a pig or hog or whatever you want to call it. But back then, it was worth a pile of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it was a lot for him to even own it, Randall. Well,
and what made this court case even worse was that the star witness for this case was Bill Statton, who was married it was a McCoy that was married to a Hatfield. And when he testified for the favor of the Hatfields to help lead to that verdict.
Right. So if you're keeping track here, there's a series of losses here for the McCoys. Okay. So as Jerry mentioned, some of the Hatfields and McCoys were, you know, intertwined. Devil Vance's son, Johnsy Hatfield, and Rosanna McCoy, they were an item in 1880. Mm-hmm. Her father said, no way. So she went to West Virginia to be with Johnsy. Well, here come the McCoy posse. They arrest Johnsy for bootlegging. Now, why is that funny? Because both families were in bootlegging anyway.
Right.
So they arrest him and they swoop her up. Well, on the way back to Kentucky, here comes Devil Vance and his posse. They fight him off. They get Johnsy back, but Rosanna is taken back to Kentucky, and they're separated. Well, she was pregnant.
Right.
And they were not allowed to be with each other. Well, he moved on. She had the baby.
That died.
At 8 months old, yeah, of measles, and they say she died of a broken heart at the age of 29. Who knows? Well, there were a million diseases back then with no cure.
I can see her dying of a broken heart because, like you said, he moved on. But in the end, he moves on to her cousin.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. And the whole, you know, intermingling thing. Randall and his wife were first cousins.
Right. I mean, this is just...
But they were Kentucky, not West Virginia.
You wouldn't believe that this was even true if it wasn't documented.
Right. So if all this wasn't enough, things really started to get heated up in 1882, August 5th. There was an election event, and it was like a carnival atmosphere, you know. And there was now this is in Kentucky.
Right.
Devil Vance had two brothers that were there, and they got into a fight with three of Randall's sons, and their names were Tolbert, Farmer, and Bud.
Well, what names?
I know. Well, it's 1882. But anyway, they got in this fight. Well, I'm not sure what happened to Devil Vance's other brother, but Ellison was stabbed 26 times, and they shot him in the back when he was trying to crawl away.
And to me, that was probably the bigger deal, the fact that they shot him in the back.
Uh-huh.
Because back then, that was one of the greatest signs of disrespect.
Absolutely. So, word gets to Devil Ants. They go searching for these three McCoy boys. They capture them. And then they hold them captured, waiting the health status of Ellison. Right. Ellison didn't die.
Not
when they stabbed him and shot him. So they held on to these three McCoy boys waiting to see what would happen to Ellison. Well, he dies 2 days later. So they ride the three McCoy boys out, the Hatfield posse does. They tie the three boys to bushes, ask them if they have any last words, any last requests.
But they tie them up in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is where they make their big mistake. I think this is probably the biggest mistake, is that they actually took them back to their home state, tied them up to those pawpaw trees.
Right.
And then shot them.
They shot them 50 times.
50 shots. Hey, they were just making sure they did a good job.
I would say.
That's all.
So guess what? No one was arrested for this. Nobody. Now, that's not to say that they weren't after him for it. The McCoys put out, you know, rewards for their captures. And
but they did
and,
get...
And you know who posted the rewards? Perry Klein, again.
I was going to say, they did have bounties placed on them from this, which would die off, surprisingly.
Well, bounty,
it died off for a little while.
Well, a couple of bounty hunters went and looking for them, yeah. And they wound up getting killed themselves.
Yep. And then, of course, Randall used his political clout to get the bounties reinstated.
Yeah. So that was in 1882. A couple years later, Cap Hatfield and his friend Tom Wallace, I think they call him Skunk because of his hair, Skunk Wallace.
Nice.
They kill another McCoy, Jeff McCoy, because Jeff killed a letter carrier. I don't know why he did, but they killed him. And then for retaliation, Tom Wallace was found dead a few months later. So I'm telling you, this is like mob stuff. So then this all comes to a head. Well, I'm not even going to say comes to a head. This gets really bad now, like
right.
Extremely bad. A few weeks later, New Year's Day, 1888, and what they call the New Year's Day Massacre. Devil Vance's son Cap, his uncle Vance, his nephew Cotton Top.
I love that, Cotton Top.
Yes.
Usually you refer to old people as Cotton Top nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Q-tip.
Right.
Now, I guess nowadays it's Q-tips.
Right, yeah. He was just really fair-haired. But those three and several other Hatfields or Hatfield associates, they attack the McCoy cabin with Randall, his wife, and his kids in it. And they set it on fire before even anyone even comes out of the thing. They just set it on fire. When the McCoys start coming out, they were just trying to get out any way they could.
Right.
They were coming out all four sides of the cabin, out the window, out the door, whatever. And they meet gunfire. You know, the Hatfields are in the woods waiting for them to come out of this burning cabin. And Randall ran and hid in a hog pen.
Nothing cries a fearless leader like
isn't
running away from a burning house with your family.
Well, I tell you, the History Channel miniseries really portrayed that as, I mean, just, he was it was cowardice.
Yes.
He just left.
Right.
So, one of his sons and one of his daughters were shot to death. And when everyone was gone, Sarah was left. Of course, she had two dead kids there, you know.
Well, they, not only that, but they had crushed her skull.
Well, that's what I was getting to.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's all right. So she's there because she has two dead kids. She didn't leave like Randall did. And Uncle Jim and Cap, they beat her, broke her ribs, fractured her skull, and just left her for dead. Now, she didn't die, but they left her to die. So the governor of Kentucky gets wind of this, and he said, this is it. We're done. So he hired this constable named Frank Phillips. He gets 40 men that go into West Virginia to get the Hatfields, okay? So, and this is where the whole, this almost sparked another civil war in this country.
It was very, very close.
Yeah, so think about it. The governor sends a posse into another state to get men and bring them back to Kentucky. Okay. So they go into West Virginia. They find Cap and Uncle Jim. Cap and Uncle Jim were hunting. They were hidden in the trees. And Uncle Jim saw them, and he says, don't make any sudden movements. I just want you to run backwards as fast as you can. Get back to your dad. Tell him that they're here to get us. So he did, and they captured Uncle Jim, and he fought the arrest. He refused to go. Yep. So they executed him in the woods.
Yep.
So that was the end of Uncle Jim. So Frank Phillips and his gang, they're headed back to Kentucky, and Devil Ant says, we need to end this. So he rounds up his posse. On their way to Kentucky, Frank Phillips and his men ambush the Hatfields. They knew that they were going to come for them. It was kind of like a catalyst for the final right. battle here.
Yep.
And this wound up being called the Battle of Grapevine Creek. So this was 9 days after Uncle Jim was executed. So the Hatfields, they were gunned down. Two Hatfields killed, many casualties. Some of them escaped, including Devil Ants. Some of them didn't escape. And that included this deputy named Bill Dempsey, mm-hmm. who was a friend of Devil Ants, and they executed him right there.
Right. And they ended up, I think, catching 9 that they took back to jail with them.
Yes. Now, a lot of people don't know this. So they capture 9 Hatfields in West Virginia and take them into Kentucky, okay? Well, the Hatfields say you can't do that because they were illegally extradited into a different state. They,
right.
they crossed state lines illegally. So this went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
God love them.
Can you believe that?
This is what you call a family feud.
Yeah, and this was a year after they were arrested. They were arrested January 1888, and then the Supreme Court case was 1889. Guess what? Finally, the McCoys win one. The Supreme Court said, you can try them in Kentucky. Go ahead. So they tried them. 8 Hatfields were sentenced to life in prison, and 1 was sentenced to die. And who was it?
Ellison Mounts.
It was Cotton Top.
And he was known to be mentally challenged.
Well, they assume that.
Oh, I just, even if, can you imagine pawning off everything onto a mentally challenged person?
Well, why did they sentence him to death?
Because he was the one that was seen killing the daughter.
The daughter, that's right. Yes. And her name is Allafair.
Right.
Yeah, so he was sentenced to die, and they carried out his execution in 1890 by hanging.
Do you know what his famous last words were?
Yes, I do. The Hatfields made me do it.
Yep. Yes, indeed. And that was back in a time when there wasn't, Kentucky didn't have public execution. But when they hung,
it was illegal.
Yeah, and when they hung him, like
thousands.
Everybody showed yep. up.
Thousands of people showed up for that.
So
the Hatfields made me do it. Yep. So, think about it. The devil made me do it. Devil Absolutely. Ants Hatfield. So that kind of put a stop to the feud, I guess.
Yeah, both sides kind of after that decided to let things
John Z went on trial in 1901 for something else, but that was kind of like the end of it.
Yeah.
That was like the end of it. So Randall McCoy, I guess, could be called the winner of this feud, but at what cost? I mean, I'm trying to think of the word they use for that kind of thing. A pyrrhic victory, where it's like,
clue.
How can you say you won when you lost all of that? And then Hatfields, they lost a lot too, but
but we declare them the winner because we're West Virginians.
Well, sure. I mean, you look at, hey... The Hatfields went to prison, but look at all the battles the Hatfields won in the process. Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on who you are or where you're from on naming the winner. Really, no one really won.
No,
that.
Both parties lost major in this
right.
endeavor.
So the whole urban legend that it started over a hog, that's, I'm not going to say hogwash. I almost did.
But. Yeah, it's good enough. I mean, you just never know. I mean, there's so many things that did actually happen way back when.
But it goes back to 1865.
Right, but
well,
it could have been a separate incident altogether that didn't really spark that huge of an event.
Right. Well, the France event, that was 1863, so right. You could say it even went back to 1863. So
and maybe there was some jealousy there, because they're both serving, and we all know that Devil Vance really, he made it big in the military.
Yeah.
He was a commander.
Well, that's why a lot of people think that's where the nickname came from.
Right.
Don't know.
And so maybe McCoy was jealous that he had advanced, because they did serve at the same time and in the same battles. So maybe there was some jealousy going that far back.
Well,
Who knows?
If he was jealous of anything, it had to be the fact that he had 5,000 acres and he had 300.
Absolutely.
And he laid claim to it and lost it in court because the judge was also a Hatfield.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's where it pays to have family around.
Right. So where does this all end? Well, Devil Vance dies of pneumonia in 1921 at the age of 81.
Right.
Randall McCoy dies in an accidental fire at the age of 88 in 1914. So if life couldn't be worse for Randall, he burns up in his home accidentally.
And so I think the other thing was the fact that he goes from being a farmer to a ferry operator.
Right.
That was kind of a weird transition. You know, evidently he didn't get that land back.
No.
And it was enough at the end that he had to go get a different job because there was just, he didn't have anything left. You got to figure his house was burnt down.
Well, it still might have had something to do with his physical ability to farm when he's in his 60s.
Right.
So I don't know.
Now, of course, Devil found he found God.
He was 72.
When he found God. And so that was a good ending to the story, you know, that he was
stereotypes. You figure that, and I'm going to use this term, country folk back in the 1800s, they were all Bible thumping Christians. Wrong. Right. Devil Vance was an agnostic at best. A lot of people said he was an atheist, but agnostic. Maybe there's a God. I don't know. I don't see proof.
Right. He just wouldn't admit to a God for a long time.
Well, look at his lifestyle.
Right.
You know, no fear of consequence. So, yeah, he was baptized by his uncle Dyke.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what year it was, but he was 72 years old.
He was 73 years old.
Oh, my God. You're going to correct me again?
So that was, he died at 81 in 1921, so subtract 8 years from that.
There you go. 1913, I guess.
Yeah.
He died at 81 with pneumonia and stuff. He outlived the feud. McCoy did too, I guess, but.
I wonder if they ever.
That's a shame. You make it to 88 and die in a fire.
And you could have done that way back when. The Hatfield set you on fire.
Yeah, no doubt.
Same results, different dates and different causes, but
right.
You know,
the Hatfield McCoy feud has been portrayed so many ways in Hollywood. I mean, even like Scooby Doo and the Flintstones, you know, all that stuff, and it inspired a game show. And what was the game show called?
Family Feud.
The Family Feud. That's why they have that.
And who hosted it?
Back then?
No. Who hosted it now?
Oh, our West Virginia friend.
A West Virginian.
Harvey, Steve Harvey.
A West Virginian's doing Family Feud that was based on.
I thought you meant back in the day. So what's funny is it's based on the Hatfield-McCoy feud. That's why you have the, I guess you call it bluegrass music in the beginning. Right. That game show started in 1976. In 1979, they actually had Hatfield and McCoy descendants on the show.
Shut up.
Battling it out, and they had a hog in a cage.
That's it. I'm going back and YouTubing because I want to see this episode.
Yes. I think Richard Dawson was the host then. But, there's like outdoor theater for this, and if you go to Pigeon Forge, Land of Dolly, they have a Hatfield and McCoy dinner theater. You know, now it's kind of like, it's a cartoonish kind of caricature of what happened.
They've lessened the severity.
Right. That's what I mean.
For sure.
Well, think about it. All the generations of those, you know, people that were actually in the thick of a feud, they're not here anymore. So I guess it's easier to take light or to make light of it. I mean, kids were killed.
Right.
But people don't think about that. They think of hillbillies in the woods. You know, Bugs Bunny had a cartoon like that. I can't remember. Hillbilly Hare, I think. But it's a caricature of what really happened now.
Well, in the seriousness of it, like you said, everybody's kind of played it off a little bit. But the seriousness of it, you had two governors that called in the National Guard.
And that's what I was going
to
get.
To
yes.
protect their borders.
Yeah. So that's where the Civil War almost started. You know, Kentucky sending people into West Virginia. West Virginia's governor like, you need to stop this. We're going to send the militia into Kentucky. Almost turn into a state-on-state thing. And, you know how things go. States have allies, and, you know, Pennsylvania might send in someone to West Virginia to help, or Ohio, or whatever. You know, Kentucky might have someone from Tennessee coming up. So, yeah, it could have sparked just about. The threat was there of another civil war.
Just think of how much bigger West Virginia would be today if it would have gone that way.
Well, you could also say, look how much bigger Kentucky could have been.
We're not going to say that because this is West Virginia talk and we're West Virginians.
Yeah, I know. But we're also realistic.
Yeah, but I just had to do that.
I know you did.
The opportunity was there and I had to say it.
I'm glad you're always the one willing to take the risk to say stuff like that because I am not a risk taker. No. So, There's sites in Mingo and Logan County and Pike County, Kentucky, for you to go see. They actually had a Hatfield Museum in Williamson, but it's closed. Now, they're talking about opening another one. I'm not sure when it's scheduled. There was a news story from earlier in the year about what it's going to have and all that kind of thing. So it's not open yet, but I'm sure it'll have a large percentage of the collection in the Williamson Museum that closed. There are mile markers for this is where so-and-so was shot, or this is where Asa was shot in this cave, and so on and so on. And of course the graveyards, you know, the Devil Ants and his wife were buried next to each other. They had a marble statue or granite statue, one or the other, built or made in Italy. And it's a life-size depiction of Devil Ants Hatfield that's on his grave. So how can you find all these places? Well, that's going to be the focus of our next episode, the Hatfield and McCoy Trails.
By far the most popular trail system in West Virginia.
And probably the country?
It's close. It's definitely probably the largest on the East Coast.
Right.
Like I said, West Virginia, East Coast. Yeah, I don't really know another trail that's quite as famous.
Now, without quoting me, I'm pretty sure it's the biggest trail system in the Western Hemisphere.
Really?
I think. But we'll have to look into that. We'll have to do some fact digging for that episode. But the Hatfield-McCoy Trail is a very popular place to go, especially in the spring, for not just people. I think less people in West Virginia do this and more people outside the state do this thing. And we'll have a special guest talking to us on that episode. We're talking to people from New Jersey that come and do this.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
People love doing side-by-sides and four-wheelers. And
yeah. If you love the ATV scene, side-by-sides and all that stuff, this is the place for you. But we'll get all into that in the next episode. So we're going to cut this episode. We're going to shut her down. Hatfields and McCoys. Who's the winner? Who can say? Not really anybody.
West Virginians.
There you go. It's all in the eye of the beholder. So I'm James.
And I'm Jerry.
And this has been a J&J production.